Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, on demand via the Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now, later today, we'll get a crucial take on the US jobs market in the form of the non-farm payrolls. But no matter the number, the market is still pricing in a 100% chance of a Fed rate hike at December's meeting. Joining us this morning is Noel O'Halloran, who is CIO at KBI Global Investors. Really great to have you in the studio with us this morning, Noel, for what has been an incredible change in terms of what investors can expect from the world. November saw the election of Donald Trump. The Trump rally now, though, seems to be fading. And we also have a seismic shift in terms of the bond markets. How do investors digest all of this?
Well, good morning and happy Friday. Indeed, obviously, November was a pleasant surprise for many, many investors. I think it was a second example this year of how having foresight would have been absolutely no use to you as an investor. We firstly had one known Brexit was going to occur, had one known that Trump was going to win.
Sure.
The market reaction has been quite different to what people expected. So in terms of the rally fading, I think lots of investors would be quite happy to lock in the gains they've made in November and close the year out with those sort of gains. So some profit taking, which is probably all that's happening, is quite natural to expect.
So this is the end of it, essentially?
I don't believe this is the end of it. I think we're probably moving to the next phase in this bull market. The bull market started in March 2009. It's only 9 months ago that people were calling the end of the bull market. It was just February of this year. We were sitting here concerned about the Chinese economy, concerned about the US manufacturing economy in particular. And now we're 100% confident we're going to get a rate rise in 2 weeks' time. So it's the beginning of the next phase.
So look, Bill Gross, the billionaire bond investor, says he doesn't buy this idea that Trump's tax cuts, that his spending plans will actually boost growth. Are you a buyer of this story?
I think it's a question of materiality. I think it will impact. I think we will see higher growth. I think we will see higher inflation. Would we see a seismic shift in that? I believe not. But I think we have seen a turn.
What does that mean for equities over in the United States?
I think for equities as an asset class, it clearly moves the preference towards equities. Mm-hmm. They are a real asset. Bonds have benefited from a deflationary environment. So if I generally believe we're into a more reflationary environment, that helps equities. US equities are seen as the winner, and particularly in November. I think as global fundamentals and confidence comes through, we should see global equities do better. I think in particular it matters for the types of equities that will do better. So the types of equities that have done better over recent years, those sort of safe haven type equities, I think they are in trouble now. I think we're now into equities with more solid fundamentals of earnings, dividends, dividend growth. Those types of companies should do much better in the next phase.
So it's a stock picker's market.
Absolutely. I think one of the lessons from this year, again, is expect the unexpected. And as we go into next year, we have plenty of hurdles to give us more volatility and uncertain outcomes. So to me, it's all about stock picking.
I just want to ask you about next year when it comes to the Federal Reserve. What's your thinking on how many hikes we could see from the Fed next year? That's been a question that is essentially on everybody's lips.
Yeah, I think the market today seems to be priced between 2 and 4, and I don't have any particular strong view that it's going to be outside that range. I suppose my strongest view is you just, to have that with certainty as we sit here at the beginning of December is a pretty big mm-hmm. call, because we just have so many political issues in Europe to overcome in the next year. We have, what is the real Donald Trump going to be like to come through? And we haven't worried about China for 9 months now. So I think that 2 to 4 could easily change.
What do you think of the Italian referendum? Does the referendum have the prospect, essentially, of being a game changer?
Well, I think the first thing about the Italian referendum is, if you asked 5 people on the street, I'm not sure anybody actually knows what's technically in the referendum. So it's been set up as an anti-Europe or pro-Europe type of referendum. So at this point in time, were we to come in on Monday morning and find a yes vote, I think that would be a positive shock from a market perspective, because the markets expect a no vote at this point in time. The reaction to the election, I think, will be the key issue. So, for example, if we were to see a materially negative reaction in terms of Italian bond yields, spreads widening out, that would be an issue for Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. We have already seen Italian bonds and the spread widening against German bunds, what, 200 basis points. At what point does the ECB get worried?
I think if we're to see 300 basis points, then I think the ECB will be called into action and we'll have one of those sort of, you know, smoke-filled late-night finance ministers-type meetings in Europe where once again they come up with something that was allegedly illegal on the Friday, yet they came up with a solution on a Saturday or Sunday night in terms of bailing out Italian banks or coming up with some solution.
I mean, how likely, though, is it that we're going to see the need for that smoke-filled room? After all, we've got people in Italy saying, hang on a minute, we've seen political crises in this country before. This ain't going to be worse than any of the others.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. I think it is the status quo in Italy. So therefore, I think it is probably unlikely, but it's a non-trivial possibility at the same time. So, you know, 10-15% chance.
And of course, the concern is around the Italian banking system. We've seen Italian bank stocks absolutely crater, and Monte dei Paschi is still being fixed, but it's not there yet in terms of capital raising.
No, it's not there yet, and I think this is one of the issues. But, you know, to put it into context, I think in total you could probably recapitalize the Italian banking system with sort of 30 billion euros. So it's not a magnificent, you know, huge sum at the end of the day. It's a political debate, I think. So, you know, whilst they're large numbers, they're not huge in the context of what we've seen, particularly in the post-2008 banking crisis.
If we look into 2017 then and look at it from an equity perspective, you're upbeat on equities, but to what extent do you think that politics could spoil the party essentially next year?
Yeah, I think politics are going to be a big issue next year, particularly European politics and US politics. So even though Trump may be fading in the rally for the last day or two, I think come the end of January and come February, March, April, Trump will be all powerful. So the markets will look to Trump in terms of, you know, what is the real Donald Trump. He will be in a very powerful position and can probably deliver anything he wants. Nobody's going to stand against him in the GOP from my perspective. And then in Europe, you're looking towards the French presidential elections, and you're going to look towards the German elections later in the summer. So three big events that will cause volatility, and again, I think from our perspective, you know, you need a good diversified portfolio in that environment.
What do you think is the biggest risk from Trump? Is it trade? Is it protectionism? Is it indeed his talk of NATO and the EU already looking to increase defence spending?
Yeah, I think at the moment the market has become extremely happy on two events. Number one is fiscal policy, expecting that he's going to cut corporate taxes significantly, and number two, infrastructure spend. And they've become quite relaxed on trade. So I think you're absolutely right. Were he to be negative, it would be if he turned the priority in those three and had trade as his number one policy. That would be negative, particularly for emerging markets, probably particularly for Europe. So that's a big risk on Trump. I mean, the other obvious risk is that he's all hot air and none of the three occur. In which case, your comments on Bill Gross and others is absolutely right. You'll go back to that more deflationary type feel of markets again.
Now, in your outlook, you essentially say that 2017 is going to be the year when central banks take a step back. Do you maintain that view, seeing what we've just discussed? And what does that mean for investors?
Yeah, I think I do maintain that view. I mean, that's my central scenario. I think that we move on to the next phase where fundamentals are better. So if we look at world economic growth, I'd expect the world economy to grow at about 3.5% next year, which is stronger than this year. Europe will be stronger. The US will be stronger. So central banks should naturally be less part of the show. But that's different to saying central banks will leave the stage. Mm-hmm. So the ECB in particular need to be extremely careful in terms of their December commentary, is in terms of, you know, if the ECB were to come out and essentially make a policy mistake by saying, you know, no more QE, I think that would be a case where the central banks just move out of the stage too quickly.
So. Although that's not really what the markets are expecting. I mean, the markets are seeing potentially 3 or 6 month extension of QE. What do you think they will come out with and talk about?
I think they need to do that. I think the ECB need to stay core to the market, but not the only driver of the market. And I think the market would react very negatively were the ECB to taper materially. But that's different to saying their core central stage. And the Fed, as we've already discussed, will raise rates 2 to 4 times next year. So that is the Fed coming off the stage.
You were saying earlier that essentially this is a market where you need to be a stock picker. What do you like and what don't you like?
I'm more in favor of the value type stocks right now. I think people have hidden in growth names and momentum names for the last couple of years, low volatility stocks, as they were, you know, the sort of bull market's been probably the most miserable bull market ever for many investors because they've never been happy. And I think they've hidden in those types of defensive names. I think as fundamentals come through and as earnings growth come through, it should justify more value type stocks. So industrial names, cyclical names, quality banks rather than sort of deep value banks, those kind of sectors should do much better.
Although because of the volatility, a lot of investors have a good chunk in cash.
Yeah, and that's the that's you know, as they sit at the end of 2017, they'll see another year of global equities returning, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10%, and their cash is negative. So, you know, there's a cost in holding cash, and that's why I say it's been a miserable bull market for many people because they've missed it.
Well, what's your own balance when it comes to bonds versus equities? What's your thinking on this?
My thinking would be very much that equities should trump bonds in this environment. You know, I am more glass half full, but in a balanced sort of way. I'm not sort of gung-ho. I do realize we're closer to the end of the bull market rather than the beginning of it. But, you know, this can go on for another couple of years.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2016 Bloomberg LP.